School of Medicine and National Cancer Institute looked into how much the duration of an exercise session affects long-term health. They had nearly 5,000 adults 40 and older wear devices that tracked how often they moved, and they determined how long they exercised. The researchers say they found people who got less than 20 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity had the highest risk of death. The study's findings now in the Journal of the American Heart Association. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Saudi Arabia announced that it intercepted 7 ballistic missiles fired at Riyadh, its capital, and other major cities, the largest barrage in its 3-year war in Yemen. The missiles were fired late on Sunday, a day before the 3rd anniversary of Saudi Arabia's involvement in the war against Iranian-supported Houthi rebels in Yemen. The Houthi-aligned Saba News Agency reported that many of their airports were also targeted. One person, an Egyptian national, was killed by fragments of the missile fired in the Riyadh attack. The escalation in the conflict, which clearly targeted civilian populations in Saudi Arabia, could reinforce Riyadh's demands to curtail the influence of Iran in the region. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. Today's weather is going to be sunny with a high near 46. East winds around 8 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight is clear with a low around 26. Southeast winds around 5 miles an hour. And it's becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday would be mostly sunny with a high near 47. Light and variable winds becoming east around 6 miles an hour in the morning. Tuesday night, it's a chance of rain after 9 o'clock. That's 9 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 34. Southeast winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. And the chance of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday, there's a chance of rain. Cloudy with a high near 50. Calm winds becoming southwest around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon. And the chance of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday night, chance of rain. Gee, how about that? Mainly before 3 a.m. and areas of fog after 1 a.m. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy with a low around 41, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. Thursday night, areas of fog before 9 a.m., and otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 59.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Jean Jamali. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. And Jean is the Director of Parenting and Childbirth Education. I have to ask, Jean, I ask everybody because it's just a thing with me. I ask people how they get involved in a current line of work. I've had everybody tell me, oh, something happened when they were 8 or 9 and they always wanted to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever. And then there's people like me. four kids, a mortgage, car payments, taxes, needed a job, didn't care where it was or what it was, and stayed there for 19 years. But, okay. So it's always been a thing with me how, you know, people get into their line of work.
Oh, okay.
So how did you get into your line of work?
I really can't remember a time that I didn't want to be a nurse.
Okay.
So that was just sort of my direction my whole childhood. I did at one point want to become an English teacher, but I decided I couldn't stand up in front of people and talk, which is now what I do for a living. So it's interesting, but became a nurse at age 20 and started out in intensive care, medical surgical nursing, mm-hmm. and then in intensive care. And then my children were born, so I went to public health nursing and office nursing for a while. I ran the CPR program, and always with an eye towards teaching. It took me a while to find my passion for teaching, and was offered the job of director of childbirth ed many, many years ago, and I took it and have been there ever since. And I not only have a passion for teaching, but also for parenting and nurturing parent process and
right.
helping people.
Right.
So that's where I've been. And I often tell people I really haven't led my career. I have followed it. and whenever an opportunity came up, I took it. And the opportunities always came when I needed
right.
them. So
right.
that's how life has gone for me.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You it's
know.
Been nice.
And,
so,
you know,
yeah.
it's interesting because people ask me, well, where did you work? And I says, well, I first worked for a private company mm-hmm. that made private label bread and cakes and stuff for big name stores in New York. I said, but it started out in Brooklyn.
Wow.
And I live out here in Hunterdon County, and I used to drive back and forth to work in Brooklyn
goodness,
every day. So that was a joy. And then I went to work for Wonder Bread. Like I told mm-hmm. you, I needed a job. I went to work for Wonder Bread. And I was in East Brunswick, and mm-hmm. then they closed that plant, and they gave me a choice. I could go to Atlanta, Georgia, or I could go to Jamaica, Queens. I took Jamaica, Queens, uh-huh. but it was two exits past Kennedy Airport.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was a tad of a drive,
mm-hmm.
but I was there, about 2-3 years. Then I got the chance to go to Pequannock.
Uh-huh.
Which a little bit closer,
right?
not around a corner, but
right.
still closer. So that's where I wound up staying, you know. But it's mm-hmm. just it's interesting because you know from in Pequannock I traveled. I flew here and there, covering different plants
uh-huh.
and stuff. So,
uh-huh.
but you know, it was just it's interesting to hear you say, "Well, I always wanted to be a nurse," you know, from
right,
being
day
a
one.
Young kid
mm-hmm.
from day one. And me, I didn't know what I wanted. I
takes some of us a long time to figure out what we're going to be.
And, you know, it's just I needed a job, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what it was, you
yeah.
know. And that was true. I had like four kids and, you mm-hmm. know. So anyway, at the Hunterdon Medical Center, mm-hmm. what specifically is your job entail?
Well, it's parenting and childbirth education, and I've got a small staff under me of lactation consultants and childbirth educators. So we offer all of the prenatal and postpartum support groups and classes and so forth, and an inpatient lactation program as well as an outpatient lactation program. So we support moms throughout, really up to age 3 with our support groups and so forth. And the nice thing about working at the hospital, you know, as you know, it's a small hospital, comparatively speaking, and it's known for its follow-up. And last year in 2017, between myself and my lactation consultants, we fielded about 1,200 phone calls.
Wow.
Of people, you know, asking for, they have questions and they're asking for help or they want, you know, and that doesn't include people just registering for class. It means they've called and they actually have a question about their baby. So so people know that they're not just discharged from the hospital and then it ends. We continue that care beyond, and that's what's really nice about working in sort of a small facility.
Mm.
I think in a larger facility you tend to get a little lost, but not at Hunterdon. And one of the great rewards of what I do is that people will call me literally years later and ask for advice. And my expertise is in the first few years. It's not with teenagers. I've raised two. I don't want to go there again. But you know, the first 3 years is really my expertise. But people will call me, and then as they add babies, and they call me again. And it's those continuing relationships that really are the reward for what
right.
we do,
right.
which is great. So,
what is would you call it?
Lactation consultants?
Lactation consultants. Oh, what is that?
Yeah, they're breastfeeding specialists.
Okay.
Breastfeeding is a huge subject. There's a lot more research than there was years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot more about how it works, how to make it work better, the practices that we should practice to make
right.
sure that it does work. And all of my consultants, most of them, two are working towards this, but my other consultants are internationally board-certified lactation consultants. And that's an international certification.
Okay.
I also hold it. And it's quite rigorous. You have to amass so many hours, and then you have to sit for a not very easy test. So they're all board certified.
Right.
There are other levels of lactation counselors, but this is actually the top level. It's the gold seal.
Okay.
So I have two right now who have their certified lactation counselor, but they don't have their international board certification. They're working towards it.
Okay.
It takes a few years to do that.
Right.
So it's breastfeeding is really, not that breastfeeding itself has evolved, but the knowledge about it is so much greater than it was when I had my children years ago.
Right.
We know a whole lot more about how to help moms. So
when a couple first finds out that they're pregnant
mm-hmm.
or expecting a child,
mm-hmm.
what should they do? What should be one of the first steps they do?
Well, hopefully they've thought about this beforehand, because it's sort of amazing to me that the statistic in America today is that half of all pregnancies are still unplanned. But that's the fact. We'd rather pregnancies be planned, because this way it maximizes the mother's health going into pregnancy. It also minimizes the couple's worry about, gee, did I have a drink the other night? Did I take a medication that I shouldn't have? What about the meds that I'm on? Do they need to be changed? Real important also is getting on a prenatal vitamin with folic acid, because that really can spell the difference between a baby with a certain birth defect and one who isn't, you know, who doesn't have that birth defect.
Mm.
So any woman of childbearing age, if she is sexually active, really should treat herself as if she's pregnant all the time, because birth control being what it is, 50%, then this way she's minimizing the worry, and she's got folic acid on board to help to prevent that. It's called a neural tube defect, and it's a defect in the spinal column. So I would hope that she spent the time before she became pregnant going to her doctor, talking about becoming pregnant, getting prenatal vitamins, having her medications assessed, having some blood titers done to see if she's immune to measles and rubella, toxoplasmosis,
because
all of those things are going to be things that she's going to worry about afterwards if she hasn't had it done. And we can't immunize against rubella while you're pregnant. Assuming that maybe she's planned and she's taking her prenatal vitamin, then I would find a healthcare provider, either a doctor, you know, a family doctor, an OB, or a midwife, and get in to see them, get the pregnancy confirmed, and get all the tests that we run during pregnancy and so forth, and get started with that.
You know, it's amazing how much different it is now.
Mm-hmm.
With all the knowledge and everything, as opposed to, well, I don't even want to tell you how old my youngest son is.
Me either.
He's 41.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah.
Mine are a little younger than that.
And he's the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But even from his birth, you know, how much has changed.
Yeah.
You know?
We know so much more about what kinds of things we need to do to make pregnancies healthy as possible, much more than we did years ago. So, you know, we follow through with that. But, you know, despite all that we now know and all the tests that go on during pregnancy and all the classes that, you know, most hospitals have, the miracle in all of this is that healthy babies are born every day. This is a natural process. If a mother is able to get pregnant, she's probably able to birth that baby. And her body makes those cells every day. She doesn't think, gee, I get up this morning and I have to make, you know, 1,000 kidney cells, right, and about 12,000 right, brain cells and a few stomach cells here and there. She wakes up and she's pregnant, and her body knows how to do that.
Yeah.
And you don't need any prior knowledge to do that. So as complicated as this is, usually it goes right rather than going wrong.
Right.
It usually goes right.
Right.
We need to keep our eye on that rather than focusing on everything that can go wrong and being, you know, so.
Yeah, but things can go wrong.
They absolutely,
you know,
can, and that's why we've got modern medicine.
Do you see that happening a lot, where it goes wrong?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, definitely we have, you know, complications that happen on a maternity unit, and it's why we monitor the mother and the baby very carefully throughout the process as well as afterwards, because problems can crop up even after, you know, she has the baby, even after she goes home.
Right.
We want to give her education to keep her healthy. Pregnancy is it's a state in which everybody's system has been modified to accommodate the pregnancy, and that can lead to things like blood clots later on and gestational diabetes during pregnancy. So, yeah, there definitely are, you know, complications that can happen, and, you know, we're equipped to handle
this.
Right,
right.
So,
I will say this. If men gave birth, you would have hardly nobody on Earth.
That's true.
You certainly wouldn't have a population explosion,
yeah,
you know.
Well, women's bodies are meant to do this.
Yeah,
you know,
but,
so.
You know, it's just, like I said, it's just so much different now. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember the first time when my oldest son, the first child, was born. I didn't want to go in, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the two nurses grabbed me and they threw the thing on me and they drugged me in, you
uh-huh.
know. And,
yeah.
And I almost passed out. The
yeah.
doctor kept saying, "You are right." And I kept saying, "No, I'm
no,
not.
I'm really
you
not.
Know, I'm really not, you know."
Right.
And
right.
it was some kind of a tank or something, you know, in the room.
Uh-huh.
And I kept staring at the tank. I'm holding my wife's hand, but I'm just staring
at
the tank.
The tank. Yeah.
And I'm reading where it was from, Richfield Park, New Jersey.
Oh,
and I still remember
vivid
where it was
memories.
From, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I stared at that the whole time. You
right,
know.
Right.
It's just,
yeah.
you know.
Well, that, you know, and that is where I think classes are so valuable, because then, you know, both the mother and her partner know how labor works. The partner knows how he or she can be helping her
mm-hmm.
Rather than
right.
sitting there biting his or her fingernails, which doesn't help anybody.
No.
I think it makes, you know, it makes everybody feel much more comfortable with the process.
Right.
And it actually, it can help the process along, too, because
right.
a mother who's not, doesn't know how her body is going to work and doesn't know what a contraction, you know, looks like and feels like, tends to tense up, and that's counterproductive
right.
to a good labor.
Right.
You know, we want her to relax and let her body do what it needs to do, and classes will help
right.
that happen.
Right.
Even if she's thinking of using an epidural, we have to get into labor before we can do that, so a class will help her to get to that point faster.
Okay.
You know.
We have to take a quick break.
Okay.
You're listening to the Hunter Medical Center Show, and we'll be back in just a couple seconds.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, Paraplanner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and our special guest today is Jean Jamali. And did I say that right?
Well, it's Jamali.
Jamali. Yeah. Okay. I didn't say that's it right. Okay. So I'm one for two. I said it right the first time.
Right. Yeah, nobody says it right.
And Jean is the Director of Parenting and Childbirth Education at the Hunterdon Medical Center. Now, you mentioned earlier about classes. Mm-hmm. What type of classes are we referring to?
Well, towards the end of pregnancy, we want moms and their partners to take the classes so that it's more relevant for them. It's fresher in their mind. They won't forget the material. We have two different kinds of childbirth classes. We have a Lamaze class, and then we have our hypnobirthing classes.
Explain them.
So Lamaze, both classes will teach all about birth and how to tell if you're in labor, when to call the doctor. They both include a tour of the maternity unit. And they both teach comfort techniques and ways to enhance the labor. Lamaze has been around for about 60 years now, 50 or 60 years in the United States. When people think Lamaze, they think breathing. And that's really a very small part of what we do.
Okay.
It truly doesn't matter how a mother breathes during labor as long as she breathes and as long as it's managing the discomfort she's feeling. But there's a lot of other comfort techniques we teach, from music to aromatherapy to touch to water therapy, movement, birthing balls, peanut balls, all kinds of stuff. And along the way, what happens is the couple sort of formulates their birth vision. How do they want this to go if they had a wish?
Mm-hmm.
I do not like to refer to it as a birth plan. I know that's a popular term out in the media.
Okay.
The only thing we're planning here is there's a baby coming out of this. But we can't plan how it's going to happen. So I like birth vision more than anything else. Hypnobirthing classes will teach all about birth, but its main focus of relaxation is hypnosis. It uses the hypnotic trance. And hypnosis is very old. It's ancient. It's probably the best modality used for cigarette cessation, smoking cessation. Everybody has been in a trance, whether they realize it or not. It's a very natural human ability to do that. Whether they've used hypnosis or not, everybody has been in a trance because we all daydream. We all drive home and wonder how the heck we got there. We all zone out at a meeting. We sort of glaze over sometimes. That's a hypnotic trance. And what we can do during that time is we give the person helpful suggestions. And as long as the brain likes the suggestion and accepts it, it says, yeah, I like that, and it'll act on it. So you can't make somebody do what they don't want to do.
Right.
You can't make somebody quit smoking if they don't want to. But if they are motivated and we can give them helpful tools through hypnosis, then it actually works very nicely. So in hypnobirthing, we give them helpful suggestions that are going to help their birthing to be more relaxed.
Now, when the male partner mm-hmm. comes, I know at times I've seen classes I've walked by where they had the doors open and the meeting rooms and stuff, mm-hmm. and the woman is sitting down, mm-hmm. And the male is behind her.
Yeah.
And is there like a breathing thing then, or is that like what he's supposed to help her with?
What
or,
he's doing?
Yeah, what are they doing is basically...
Well, it could be any number of things. I'm guessing if he's standing behind her, he's probably been instructed to give her a nice back massage.
Okay.
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 Some instructors will have the mother give the partner a nice back massage and then turn around, and the partner has to do it because, and she'll give it the way she would like it, and then it'll turn around and he or she will give it to her and the way she would like it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of teaches the partner, because sometimes, you know, you might not like to be touched this way, but you like it that way.
Right.
And this way is
right.
an instruction for them. So it really could be any number of things. We do, it's not just breathing. It is not just breathing. We do a lot of moving around. We do a lot of interactive things. It really is a very fun day. It's a long day. It's over one day.
So. Is it always with both partners there, or is it just sometimes the woman? Or
we encourage her to bring a partner. It doesn't have to be the father of the baby. You know, it really can be anybody that she wants. She can even bring more than one person. Some people, they have partners who don't want to come or are unavailable to come. But we feel it's important for both to come if at all possible. I mean, if the mom wants to come by herself, that's fine. We'll handle that. The instructor mm-hmm. will do the interactive things with her. But whoever she's going to have with her in labor really needs to know how to help her in labor. And the best way to do that is in a class.
Okay. Now, what are things... How do I say this? What are things that people don't always think of but should know about before the baby is born?
There's a lot, I think.
Well, you can go one by one.
Yeah. Well,
we got a lot of time yet. You know,
yeah.
You can.
I think people, you know, if they watch birth on television, they think it's 10 minutes long. And it's a lot longer than that. First babies usually take much longer than that to happen. And pushing takes a lot longer than you think. And I think that they think, particularly if they've formulated a birth plan, they think it's going to go the way they've planned it. And they need to stay very, very flexible about the way it goes. You don't want to come in and say it needs to be this way because it most of the time doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go. So you need to stay flexible. You should have some idea about how you want it to go. And you need to share that with the doctor or the midwife, and you need to share it with your labor nurse because she's the one who's the constant presence. The doctor or the midwife might not be there the whole time, but she will be there. And mm-hmm. so she's the one who needs to know about that. For after the baby is born, if they've never had a baby, I don't think that they're prepared for the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week responsibility. It is exhausting. It's exhausting. And, you know, a lot of our demographic is they're couples who have, they're in their mid-30s, they've had very productive jobs, they're probably highly educated. They're used to planning their lives. And this is one thing that you can't plan because babies don't read the book on the way out. And it's sort of, I think, one of the great lessons of parenting is that you're not in control. It is an illusion. And the quicker you can sort of let go and let the baby lead the way, I think the happier you are. And that's a painful letting go for some moms. I work with them for a couple years afterwards, and for some moms it's a painful letting go. And it's a painful acknowledgement to them that they need help. You know, they should ask for, you know, people to bring over dinners or for mom to come over and do the laundry, because these are independent people who have been used to doing everything on their own, and they're amazed that they can't even get their teeth brushed in the morning,
right.
Let alone their home cleaned. You know, they can't even get their teeth brushed.
Now, you said you sometimes have these people for years after How does that work?
Well, I run the support groups afterwards.
Okay.
Our Baby Steps support groups, and they run, there's actually three separate groups, 0 to 6 months, 6 to 12 months, and then age 1 to 3. So I sometimes see these moms for 3 years and even beyond, because they go and they have second and third children and they come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll see some moms for, you know, 4 or 5 years, which is very rewarding to see them, you know, add to their children and to see them evolve as a mother. I'm very fond of saying that, you know, you become a parent in an instant, but becoming a parent takes months. Really feeling like you've got it. You've got it. You sort of know what you're doing, and you can rest on your own confident judgment. That takes months for some people to have to do. It doesn't happen in an instant. And that's why the mother of a toddler can drop a pacifier and brush it off on her jeans and stick it in the kid's mouth, but the mother of a one-month-old goes and boils it.
Right.
Because she's not there yet. She hasn't quite arrived. And why the mother of a one-month-old tends to listen to everybody's advice and tries to follow everybody's advice, where the mother of a two-year-old sort of knows where she sits.
Right.
And she'll just go ahead and do it. It takes time for that to happen, and they need to give themselves time.
It's interesting because, you know, like I said, how far things have come
mm-hmm.
Now than when my kids were born, you know. You know, it's just interesting. You had mentioned before about a midwife,
mm-hmm.
all right? Would you elaborate a little bit about it for us dumb people that don't know too much about midwives?
Midwifery has been around. It's ancient. And the word midwife means with woman. So it really wasn't the physician who got into birth
mm-hmm.
years ago. It was always the midwife. The physician was usually called in if there was very big problems. About 100 years ago or so, it became more physician-driven than midwife-driven. And I think when people think of midwives, they think of what's called lay midwives. They're granny midwives. Their mother was a midwife. Their grandmother was a midwife, and they taught them how to be a midwife. And I think there's certainly granny midwives and lay midwives in America today. The midwives who practice at the medical center are certified nurse midwives. They're all master's prepared, advanced practice nurses.
Okay.
And they have prescriptive privileges, so they can order meds and so mm-hmm. forth. There are things beyond which they cannot go. They cannot do a cesarean. They can assist at one. They cannot do a vacuum extraction of the baby in case the baby is stuck, but they can assist at one. They have very clear parameters beyond which they can't go. And there's always a safety net of a physician underneath that. So they're not practicing independently. They're practicing under the auspices of a physician. So
right.
There's always physician backup behind them. So an advanced practice nurse, there's many different kinds of advanced practice nurses. There's family nurse practitioners, pediatric nurse practitioners. And they're all advanced practice nurses. So they've gone above and beyond. In fact, a lot of them have their doctorate degree now. So.
Yeah, and there's, like you said, it's not only in childbirth and mm-hmm. such, because there's APNs in mental health, and
that's
there's APMs,
right.
you know.
Right. And they're all very highly qualified, and,
right.
and research
right.
consistently shows that they have excellent outcomes with their patients.
And, you know, I've got AFib,
mm-hmm.
so I go to a cardiologist here in Hunterdon Medical Center,
mm-hmm.
and he sees me now, thank God, once a year.
Uh-huh.
But the 6 month period, I see the APN.
Uh-huh.
And she's, you know, she'll talk, how are you? How's everything? You know,
right.
very down to earth, you
mm-hmm.
know, one on one. Whereas, you know, a lot of doctors, and I'm not knocking anybody because I know that they've got a lot to do,
mm-hmm.
but they're more like, how do you feel? Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And she'll go, you know, she's more loose and relaxed
yeah.
and, you know,
spend a little bit more time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not, you know, I'm not knocking doctors, but
right.
I understand that, you know, if
right.
if you're booked from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, you
mm-hmm.
can't, you know, sit there and ask how the kids are, you
right.
know.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
So, you know, I understand that. But, you know, with the APN that I see, who I've seen for a couple of years now, She's, you know, very down to earth. How you been? How you been since the last time I seen you? You know, this, right. this, you know, that sort of thing. And so it's just interesting that there are, you know, nurses who are advanced practitioners and can write scripts and, you know, et cetera, which is good, I think.
Sure. You know. I think it augments the medical practice.
Right, right.
You know, nursing has always been caring for the whole family, the whole person. Western medicine has tended to be sort of more compartmentalized.
Right.
So I think the nurse adds something to the whole.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. Yes, absolutely. What advice, if any, would you give to parents about childbirth classes, new parents about childbirth classes?
Well, I think everybody should take classes just because it makes them more relaxed in the labor. It helps them not to tense up. That's counterproductive to labor. The hormone that causes labor is shut off by the stress hormone. It's the fight-or-flight hormone, the adrenaline. And adrenaline is designed to make you either run for your life or fight for your life. And when your brain thinks it's fighting for its life, giving birth is not preferable because, like in ancient times, she'd be swallowed by the saber-toothed tiger if she squatted and gave birth. So what adrenaline very effectively does is it shuts off all non-essential functions. It speeds, you know, blood to the heart and to the brain. It dilates the eyes. It gets you ready to go, either fight or go, and birth is not on that list. So if you don't know how your body works, you will reflexively tense up, which will not only cause more pain, but it will actually delay the labor. It will actually lengthen the labor. And it's good to know what is happening as it's happening. You know, it's good to have a foundation. Study after study has shown that the biggest satisfier for birth, if you ask mothers after they give birth, who are the most satisfied, the women who are most satisfied are not the women who had the least amount of pain. They're not the women who would have had the epidural. They might be. But what is the one factor that they've teased out in these studies is that she has knowledge and she has self-determination. Her opinion was listened to, so it's a shared decision-making. Mm-hmm. That is the satisfier. She could have had an awful labor when somebody else looks in at it. It could have been very, very painful, and she could have had a lot of complications and a lot of interventions, but if she was given a voice to talk and discuss those, that gives birth satisfaction. So the more knowledge she goes in with, the more she'll know, I can ask questions. I'm allowed to ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I always tell people, you know, when you go to look at a new car, you know, you look under the hood, you look underneath, you kick the tires, you ask the questions, and you grill the salesman. But then when it comes time for you to go into a physician's office, you're mute, and you don't advocate for yourself. But you need to know what questions to ask.
Right.
So a lot of what we talk about in class is this is a discussion for the physician. We don't tell them what to do. We just say, here's what this intervention is. Take it to your doctor and talk about it.
And, you know, do you find that, I don't want to say easy birth, but less painful births than some others, do you find that they have more are more apt to have children a second and third time?
I think anybody who's had a child knows that you sort of forget. You don't forget that it was painful and challenging, but you do sort of forget the element of the pain. That's how pain is. You don't really remember exactly what it feels like. But I think the want to have children sort of outweighs the fear that she might have. And, the first pregnancy, I think it's fear of the unknown, because even if she takes class, it's still fear of the unknown. But after that, it's fear of the known. You know exactly what it is you're up against.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to like it anymore. But you know that you've done it before,
right.
So you can do it.
Right.
First time, you don't even know if you can do it.
Right.
You know, there's always that doubt. You know, well, everybody else can do it, but maybe I'm the one who can't. And, you know, until it's proven that, you know, yes, your body can bring this to its fruition, then it's a little scary the first time around. So.
And let's see, when you, I think in your, at the hospital, don't they have a newborn care center?
Well, our maternity,
or maternity
unit, yeah, our maternity, yeah. It's called the Maternity and Newborn Care Center.
There you go.
So, yeah, so we have, you know, we have 20, actually we have 19 rooms. What we've done in the unit is we've gone to a model that's called labor delivery recovery. So we've put all of our laboring moms on one side of the unit and all of our postpartum moms on the other side of the unit. It's a big unit, and it's a little bit better for the nurses' feet and for communication and for, you know, care to put mm-hmm. all the laboring moms on one side. They are all private. They're all single bedrooms with the exception of our triage area, which is a semi-private room, and that's a temporary area. And then we have a special care nursery, and we're a level 2 facility, which means we can handle babies down to about 32 weeks. We're not a neonatal intensive care unit, but we do have arrangements made so that we can transfer smaller babies out if we had to, but we don't have the capacity to hold on to those 28, 29 weekers.
Right.
You know, a term baby is like 39 weeks, so those babies are pretty preterm, but we can handle babies down to 32 weeks and get them ready for transport, so it works.
Yeah, I know, like my youngest son was premature,
mm-hmm.
and he was like 3.5 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was in the hospital for quite a while after mm-hmm. he was born. And, you know, my wife came home, but the baby was still in the hospital, you know.
Yeah.
So that was kind of rough, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he, you know, it took a while, but, you know, he grew up.
Yeah. We've made tremendous strides in caring for preterm babies and knowing what preterm babies need, far more than years and years ago when we didn't know a whole lot. We didn't have intensive care units years
right,
ago.
Right.
So, you know, now we do, and it's good that we do. So.
Yeah, and, you know, do you find that sometimes women who you may not think are going to have problems have problems?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can't always predict what's going to happen. Some things happen very much at the last minute with no risk factors at all. And that's why maternity units have to be prepared
right.
for every eventuality. You know, like I said before, it usually goes right, but when it goes wrong, it can go very wrong
mm-hmm.
very fast.
Right.
So
right.
They have to be prepared. Not every woman who walks through the door, you know, she may be very low risk and not have any risk factors at all, and she may have a lot of problems. So you can't really anticipate.
Right.
So
right.
It's, you know, it's tricky sometimes.
It is, you know, mm-hmm. I would
yeah.
think, you know.
Right, right. And
because,
you know, we've got an older population, you know, which brings with it some, you know, the woman might have some comorbidities like, you know, type 2 diabetes. She might be obese. She might have underlying heart disease that we don't know about, maybe hypertension. And that all can complicate pregnancy.
Sure, sure.
You know, the older
yeah.
you get, the more stuff you got.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of
tell me about it.
So, and, you know, a lot of our couples in Hunterdon County are in their 30s. They're not in their 20s.
Right.
I mean, they can be. But,
yeah, but they're
know,
not.
A lot of them are
yeah,
not.
Yeah, a lot of
and
them are not.
That's the trend nationwide. You know?
Right. And it's, you know, get the job and so on and so forth.
Do
and,
all
you know,
your,
do
get
all
your
the,
house. Do,
get your
do
house,
your
all this good stuff first,
right.
you know.
Right.
You know, so, but it's, I tell you, I think, you know, when I just hear about the length of we've come
mm-hmm.
over the last 20 some odd years even,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the last 10 years, you know,
yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Medicine is moving so fast. And the research is moving so fast. You know, thank goodness we have research.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Years ago, we used to do it because it was the thing to do. But now
yeah.
we do yeah. it because it's the right thing
now
to do.
Now it's because it's the right thing. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon Chamber Radio's Hunterdon Medical Center Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And we'll be back in just a few moments.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back, folks, to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged. I know I'll probably screw up her last name again. I'm one for two, so I'm batting 500. You know, if I was playing baseball, I'd be millions of dollars a year. Jean Jamali.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm 2 for 3. That's even better. And we've been talking about prior to childbirth and classes. And so is there any classes we haven't touched on?
Yeah, there's a few prenatal classes. We have a baby care class that's 3 hours of baby care. But it's more than just baby care, because in a few days the couple's pretty good with diapers and holding and swaddling and so forth. We delve into temperament and personality and how to read the baby's cues. Because babies often seem like they're just buzzing masses of confusion that can't be figured out, but these are little human beings who are hardwired to communicate with us in order to get what they need to survive. So there's a whole system of body language that babies can show you if you are watching carefully. And these may range from a very subtle raise of the eyebrow to a clenched fist to rapid breathing. all of which are cues. And if the parent can follow the baby, then the baby's a lot happier because the baby has been listened to.
Right.
And rather than, you know, somebody's trying to get into the baby's face because they want to play with the baby and the baby is averting his eyes, the baby's saying, I don't want you in my face right now. And you need to treat them like human beings. They're little human beings.
Right.
They're not, you know, they're not things that you can play with when you want to.
They're not dolls.
That's right. And, you know, we also talk about, you know, early and late cues. There's always some early cues that signal a baby wants to eat or a baby wants to fall asleep. And oftentimes we don't pay attention to those very, very subtle cues. And what we do is we hear the loud cue. So a crying is usually a loud cue, and it's usually a late cue for anything. So we delve into that. It's more than just baby care. And then we have a breastfeeding class, which is basically breastfeeding 101, how to get started, how it works, how the partner can help. We want partners at all classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then we have Happiest Baby on the Block class.
What was it?
It's called Happiest Baby on the Block. And it actually is a book. I know. It's not mine. It's a book. And it's also a DVD. And it's a very prescribed way of calming crying babies. So, and it's like a magic trick. Literally, it's like turning off a light switch, and it really does work very nicely. So, so those are our prenatal classes, and then of course we've got the support groups that I mentioned before. Afterwards,
right,
and then phone support as well. So,
that's interesting. But I, you know, it's interesting that there's at this day and age now things that you can pick up on.
That he didn't know before. Right.
Kid was crying, you know. Okay,
right, yeah.
You know, he never knew why he was crying. He was crying, you know.
Right.
He was being difficult, like, you know, babies are, you know, whatever, you know.
Right.
But now it's like, you know, if you pick up on it, it's...
You sort of follow the baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it would be, you know, a lot of times we liken it to, you know, when if you're talking to your partner and he or she is sort of not paying attention and you keep getting in their face... they're going to get angry at you.
Right.
Well, the baby will too, you know, because you're not listening to the baby. You're not, you know, you're not following the baby's lead as to what he likes and what he doesn't like. So it's not that difficult to pick up on those cues.
Right.
But you got to know what you're looking for, because what you thought
was
a random movement is actually a signal from the baby. So.
And you've got to be able to interpret that. You
know. That's right. And it's not that difficult to, you know, to do once you get some practice in doing it. But, you know, our practice at the medical center has always been very, very holistic and very respectful of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my staff, they pepper their conversations with clients about cues.
Right.
So that it teaches the parent what to look for with their baby. It's much more rewarding, you know, when you have a baby who quiets down quickly because you've responded quickly, rather than a baby who cries for hours at a time because you don't know what you're doing.
Right, you don't know what you're doing, or you don't know why they're crying.
Right.
You know, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
What about, you have a baby fair coming up?
We do, yeah. This is our annual baby fair. It's the 14th year, I think.
Wow.
And I know, I've been there for every single one of them. It's actually grown. It's like the baby, tot, and kid fair. Because it's more than just the babies. It started out as the baby fair, and now it's sort of all of those things. And we hold it once a year. It's on April 7th from 9 until 1. And we take over the whole first floor of the hospital. Lots of vendors, child care facilities, exercise facilities, physicians, chiropractors, alternative medicine. There's some vendors for things like Arbonne and Mary Kay and all kinds of things. There's a little bit of a spa room. There's some activities for the kids to do. There's face painting. There's some other things going on. I know that there's a talk about why choose a midwife that's being done. There's also maternity tours. We have some volunteers who will come in and give fairly quick tours. They're not real comprehensive, but they'll give fairly quick tours. And there's lots of giveaways. You know, everybody wants to give you, you know, a magnet or a pen or a pad or, you know, whatever. And it's a fun day. It's chaotic, but it's fun.
And that's for expectant parents or anybody?
Parents. Yep, anybody. We get a lot of grandparents who come in, too. For my table, you know, I represent the maternity unit in my department.
Right.
So for my table, I have a lot of information about babies and toddlers and all of our classes, of course, but a lot right. of different right. information. And it's the place where people will come and say, I'm just pregnant, what should I do? You know, we'll give them some guidance and sort of point them in the right direction, give them some literature. They can pre-register for their hospital stay at that time mm-hmm. and just go into admitting and do that.
Right.
So I find it's a lot of fun. I get to meet a lot of new people in the area who are contemplating the medical center. And then I get to meet a lot of, I call them my moms,
yeah.
that I've known for several years.
Right,
and
right.
they come back for the fair. They're not coming to the group anymore because they've returned to work. So it's a lot of fun to see them and see their, you know, their children
mm-hmm.
and their babies
right,
have grown.
Right.
And they've really, the greatest reward is when you see a parent that you've known since she had her baby and very unsure of herself, not really knowing what to do, and then seeing her come back a couple of years later and knowing that maybe you had a part in helping her achieve
right.
that transformation.
Right.
You know, because it's
right.
what it is. It's a transformation.
Right. And if somebody wanted to reach out and get more information, how would they do that? Facebook or website or telephone number?
Go to the
or?
Website. The phone number is 908-788-MOMS. So it's 6667 for those of us who have a hard time finding yeah. the letters on the phone. But it's 788-MOMS, and it's designed that way to make it easy
okay.
for people to call. And if I often tell people that if you don't know who you're supposed to call, call me. If I don't know, I will find out the answer for you. Because so many things come up during pregnancy and even beforehand that people, oh, it's not important enough to call the doctor, but I'm wondering about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what should I
right,
do about
right.
that? So I'll find the answer out if I don't know it, or I'll point them in the right direction. So.
Okay, it's 908-788-MOMS.
Mm-hmm.
That's 666.
Seven? Yes.
How about that? Okay, I remembered.
You know. I know.
And the website?
Well, it's
you would go from the
100andhealthcare.org,
and then they would look for maternity?
And
or?
They would click on the homepage, click on services, and then click on maternity.
Okay.
And that'll take you to how to register, it you know, having a baby, all kinds of stuff is on there.
Well,
nice
Jean, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come and talk about
well,
what you do. And,
me.
You know,
it's
and
fun.
It's a pleasure. And if you're pregnant or plan on being pregnant,
yes.
reach out, 908-788-MOMS.
Yep, I've got lots of information.
And Jean has a lot of information, like she said.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
Take care and hope your baby's healthy. See you next week.
Thank you.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterdon in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. A new Trump administration action is aimed squarely at Russia. 60 diplomats have been ordered out. The State Department says the expulsions are in response to an outrageous violation of the Chemical Weapons Convention and a violation of international law. In addition to the expulsions, the U.S. is requiring Russia to close its consulate in Seattle by April 2nd.
This is in response to Russia's alleged poisoning of an ex-spy in Britain, British Defense Secretary Gavin Williamson.
I actually think that is the very best response that we can have, because their intention, their aim is to divide. And what we are seeing is the world uniting behind the British stance.
14 European nations and Canada have taken similar actions. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results